Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and today we are discussing Season 3, Episode 20 of Star Wars Rebels, entitled Twin Suns. This episode originally aired on March 18th, 2017. Synopsis from StarWars.com reads, reacting to a vision of Maul, Ezra defies Hera and Kanan to travel to a remote planet in hopes of stopping the former Sith Lord from carrying out his plans. This was written by Dave Filoni and Henry Gilroy and was also directed by Dave Filoni.
So some trivia from StarWars.com. To demonstrate an arduous passage of time, Darth Maul's character model not only is scuffed up coated with sand and dust, but also has chunks taking out of his mechanical legs, which is kind of interesting and creepy and gross. The earliest iterations of this story had Kanan accompany Ezra. Chopper did not come along and rather stayed on Adalon to be at Hera's side.
I think in Rebels Recon, Henry Gilroy talks about that, about this episode went through a bunch of drafts, and originally Kanan did accompany Ezra, but it was sort of decided that Ezra sort of introduced them to Maul, and so it's sort of his journey in dealing with the final outcome of that.
Yeah, I think we talked about this off pod, but yeah, I think I liked this episode and the fact that Ezra is by himself, because it will prepare him for later. Because his, you know, sometimes people are not that you need are not always going to be around.
That's true,
and you gotta. Especially with his journey with Maul coming to a close, I think it's poignant, like poetic, but at the same time, I think he needs to take it by himself.
Yeah.
The holocron fragments guiding Ezra's path were not always in the story. Instead, there was more to Kanan and Ezra arriving on Tatooine and following a path of clues left by Maul. So that would have been interesting. Different story.
Yeah.
Luke Skywalker would be the same age as Ezra, give or take a few days. In fact, the animation model seen only in silhouette is a reuse of season three Ezra Bridger model. So that little running Luke we see at the end, they just reused Ezra's run.
Model?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. So yeah, basically this episode is pretty much a desert episode of Ezra trying to locate Maul and Maul trying to locate Kenobi and using Ezra to locate him, and then dying very shortly after.
Yeah, and his, also
duel with Kenobi. You want to call it a duel?
Duel,
not really.
Yeah,
too short.
I know when this episode first aired, it was very. I mean, people wanted to see it because we kept seeing Kenobi and Maul, and it's like, you know, people that have seen Clone Wars know there's a history there, history there, and wanting to see this big epic fight. But in my heart and soul, I had a feeling it was going to be short.
Yeah. I don't think it was necessary to have them.
No.
I mean, I know, like, people wanted that fan service of them duking it out for 20 minutes, but, you know, I think it was...
Watch Clone Wars, then.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of duels between the two in Clone Wars.
Yeah. But with that being said, we're going to start things off with our activity first.
Okay.
This is an activity we did a while back called Holochronic Minds, and so we have questions and we have whiteboards, and we basically both answer at the same time and then flip our boards around to see if they are different, if they match, you know, sort of like match game. The first question is, what lesson do you think Ezra was meant to learn from this journey?
Ooh, interesting.
All right, you got something? I have no idea how I'm going to.
Mine is really long. I don't know if we can, like, show this on camera, because it's really long. So,
okay, I wrote,
what was the question again?
The lesson of learning where his role lied within, the rebellion itself.
Oh, okay. Okay, so mine is similar, but mine's really long. Some people don't have your best interests at heart. And sometimes the things you need in life are already there.
Yeah, it's sort of the similar lessons that he's already learned is, like, he gets pulled into directions, but he always comes back to where he's meant to be.
Yeah, and I think Kenobi mentions that, too, of, like, what you need, you already have, but you seem to be letting it all go. You're so focused on this, which we find out by this episode, that everything up to this point that Ezra thought was really just Maul's,
I think that goes back to when we originally did this activity, and we was brought up about destiny and fate. And you were like, don't you remember? I was like, no. I was like, oh, wait. We got to this episode. I realized he'd orchestrated the whole thing. I don't know, maybe it was still meant to happen this way.
Though, yeah, I don't know if he meant... Like I said, I don't think he was searching or meant to find Kenobi. Or if, you know, it's... I feel like this could be a debate for forever of, like... Yeah. What... Did they actually see what Maul wanted or what Ezra wanted? Mm-hmm. But when Maul found out what it was, he was like, oh.
Manipulating everything.
So, yeah, he played Ezra from the very beginning.
Yeah, I feel. Okay, next question. How well did the show balance fan service of Obi-Wan versus Maul with narrative purpose?
Oh, interesting. Like, balance
how
it out?
How did it balance out sort of Ezra's journey with Obi-Wan and concluding Obi-Wan and Darth Maul's journey? Like, out, if you had to give a rating out of 5, how well did the episode do that?
Oh, okay.
All right. I said 3 out of 5.
Real? I said 5 out of 5. Okay, well.
Okay, so the reason I said 3 out of 5 is, again, this is a lesson that Ezra's had to learn throughout several episodes. The one with Hondo, where you had to, like, oh, you know, I'm good where I am. I don't need to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm good where I am. I don't need to be following this, what I think is a larger purpose of defeating the Sith. Mm-hmm. Sort of coming to terms with understanding that's not, he's not going to be involved in that, mm-hmm. really, in that aspect. As we know, you know, he doesn't know that Darth Vader's going to turn, but we do.
Yeah, I get you.
But I will say, like, this episode on its own, sort of what I struggle with is, like, I understand that they wanted to conclude Maul and Obi-Wan's story, but it got me... Maybe I'm just overthinking it. It got me questioning why Maul was even introduced in the first place. Like, was it really about Ezra's journey, or was it more about we want to bring Maul in?
I think, obviously...
So I gave it 3 out of 5, if that makes sense.
I said 5 out of 5 for this particular conclusion of it.
Okay,
because... Gotcha. Yeah, I really think they brought Maul into it because everybody loves Maul and he's a good character.
And see what happens, right? When
just
those
to,
characters interact.
Yeah, just to see. But I also think, in terms of Ezra's character, it challenged him.
Okay, yeah.
Without Maul, I don't think he would have grew like he did.
Oh.
You know, I wonder that. I think it was balanced very well with Obi-Wan and Maul because it didn't overtake the story. Like, it felt that Ezra's journey and the end of this episode with Maul's journey concluding together, it didn't feel like one was overtaking the other to me. It felt very cohesive.
I'll bump it up to 4. I'll bump it up to 4. What I do like about this episode is that we have, I think we brought this up, like, not only is this concluding, you know, Maul and Obi-Wan's long journey, being adversaries, mm-hmm. but it also, when it ends with Luke,
yeah,
which I mean, honestly, like, what I love about we'll get to the episode in a minute is once Maul says you're protecting somebody, he immediately lights that lightsaber, like, okay, now you really have to go.
You've overstayed your welcome,
but yeah, once
sir.
You see Luke, it sort of like reminds the audience, like, okay, we started this show 5 years before A New Hope takes place. I don't think we've got much more story.
Yeah,
to
I said this off pod too. I think this was the moment I really thought we were going to get 5 seasons, guys. I really did. I really thought we were going to get 5 seasons. Yeah. But this was the moment where I was watching as a fan, going, okay, we're getting to
the wire
of where New Hope starts. Like, yeah. We're almost there. And I think this was, like, it was really poignant and beautiful because New Hope is my all-time favorite Star Wars movie. Internet can hate me. I don't care. And that image of Obi-Wan looking at Luke really got me watching it. It always gets me. But also, as a fan, I reacted sadly because it was going... this show, this series is about to go. It's about to end.
Mm-hmm. So. It's getting closer and closer to the time point of A New Hope.
Yeah.
All right. Question three. This is Maul's line when he is killed by Obi-Wan.
Okay.
Is he will avenge us? He will avenge us. A hopeful line or a tragic one? Is it a hopeful line or a tragic one?
I said tragic.
I said both.
Really?
Tragic in the sense that, and I might piggyback on something you're about to say, but tragic in the sense that this dude never learned the path of light. He was always about hate and vengeance, and that's really sad that you have to live your life, and that gives you purpose. But hopeful for Maul, I guess, again, gives the dude some hope, as twisted as that is.
Oh, interesting, from his perspective.
He says us, and I'm assuming he's talking about his brother and him, and also just his family in general.
Or Obi-Wan.
I mean, but it's sort of like, yeah, Palpatine needs to go. He needs to die because he screwed me over. And hopefully maybe this kid is the answer to that. So in a way, it's both tragic, but maybe hopeful for Maul in the end.
Yeah, it is sad. Like, I remember, I mean, don't get me wrong, when I first watched this, I was freaking jumping off the couch because I was so happy he died.
Because he blinded Kanan.
People can hate me all they want, but I hated him so much. Like, but after a while, he was fun to hate, you know? Yeah. But initially, I just hated him.
Yeah.
But in the rewatch of this, I felt bad. I actually felt some sympathy for the dude, especially when he's just lying there after he says it. And it kind of got to me, too, with Obi-Wan, because this guy murdered his master.
And this guy, loved one,
yeah, killed his girlfriend and other stuff, and he closes his eyes for him, which shows a lot about Obi-Wan.
Yep.
I would have been like, well, I'm just going to throw you in the dirt.
Yeah, we're going to let the sand eat you now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about Obi-Wan as a character as well. It's like, well, and you kind of even see him like kind of shaking his head like.
Yeah, like he never saw the light.
All right. Who had the worst day, Ezra, Chopper, or Maul?
Ooh, that's a funny question.
All right, ready?
I just have Chopper. I felt so bad for the little dude. I mean, one, he didn't want to be there in the first place.
Yeah,
he kind of just stole away, and then he's trying to protect Ezra, and then their ship gets blown up. And he's like, I'm sure you can find a settlement. And he turns back and he sighs, like, oh, I can't leave him alone. And then he gets gunked up full of sand and almost dies.
You know what? I'm going to put Chopper. I felt Maul originally because he died, but you know, he was kind of happy at the beginning. He thought everything was going to work out and he was going to kill Obi-Wan.
I mean, Maul died. Yeah. So, yeah, that does kind of ruin your day.
Yeah, but I'm gonna Chopper. Say Chopper. I felt, yeah, you're right.
I felt bad for the little droid. And
The fact that he actually, like, you know, when Ezra tells him, like, call home or just walk along the ridge, I've got to go out in the sandstorm, like, very big of Chopper to follow Ezra. I don't think old Chop would have, like, okay, you're lost.
I know, but you can tell what I love about it is the sigh.
Yeah.
Because he turns, and he really thinks about it, and he's like, and then he just goes with him, like, I gotta go with you, but I'm not happy about it.
Also, didn't Chopper stow away?
Yes, yeah, Ezra said.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I want to say Chopper on that
one. Like, he didn't ask to be there.
I mean, he's no delay. I mean, he made a choice in doing that. I don't think he wanted to get gunked up with sand and be shut off for, like, half the episode.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah. That's not normal for us to feel bad about Chopper.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Which Star Wars character would, besides Maul, would Obi-Wan not want to see show up on his Tatooine doorstep?
Which Star Wars character would he not want to see show up? Well, that's easy. I mean, I wouldn't want him to show up on my doorstep either. Darth Vader.
Vader. Yep.
We're the same.
That's a pretty easy question, though. Yeah, duh. Be Darth Vader.
Yep.
And I haven't seen the Obi-Wan show, but I have seen Ewan and Hayden's
the fight scene. Yeah.
All right. Another Obi-Wan question.
Okay.
If Obi-Wan had a holocron playlist, what song would be on it after this episode ends?
After this episode ends?
Like, if he just goes back home and is chilling and he just pops in a record or whatever.
Play a song.
Yeah. What song would be
playing? Mine is so stupid. Like, it's not outside of the box at all.
Okay, I'm gonna go on pod and say what I'm about to write down is totally not something Obi-Wan would play. But I'm gonna go first. Obi-Wan would totally not do this. Kelsey would do this. The song Karma. I don't know if you've heard that song.
You specifically wrote this question so you can write that.
I just now thought of it. Then I'm like, wait, this is totally not something Obi-Wan would play.
I think he would play Binary Sunset.
Binary Sunset?
Which is what we hear at the end of the
episode. You're such a nerd that you even know what that is. What the heck?
Like, what if he's got records of John Williams' music? Like, what if John Williams' music is actually
canon
in
like
the universe?
Like, he's a great composer in Star Wars universe?
And it's kind of sad and tragic. He just, can you just see Obi-Wan sitting there in this plane? He's just like... And then he just takes the needle. Like, it would be, like, such a Family Guy moment to take the needle off the record and this is what was playing.
Okay, what about this one? What about Sunshine by John Denver? Sunshine on my shoulders. Makes me happy.
I can see that one. I mean, that can kind of fit. You know, if it's kind of the 70s
Yeah, vibe, the 70s vibe. Know? There's two suns. I mean, it could work. And the final question. Ezra's internal monologue during this entire trip is blank. You know, fill in the blank.
His internal monologue during this entire trip. Okay, I wrote, keep going.
Yours is so profound and mine's just really funny and stupid.
Because even when they got in that sandstorm, he was like, keep moving. Even when he's almost passing out, he's still focused on finding Obi-Wan before Maul does.
Which, props to Taylor Gray for doing that scene. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, I did too.
For some of the ADR and stuff. So mine is less profound, I guess because I'm just on one tonight or something. we've already heard a Star Wars Rebels character say this. We've already heard another character say this. I hate sand. It's coarse and it gets everywhere.
Yeah, that will be a social media clip. Well, after this trip, he might say that.
After this, yeah.
I hate sand.
Yeah, because even when he gets back to Alon or whatever, he's like, I know this is my home. Like, this is where I belong. I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. Then I'm like, give him something to drink or
I know,
something.
Because he's like all covered in sand. I'm like, please, somebody.
Like, he needs to bathe.
Help him.
Yeah. What would you rate this episode?
Oh, gosh. I absolutely love this episode. I know some people have issues with it because of the pacing. But also, it's Ezra, and he's my favorite character, so that helps. Mm-hmm. I would give it an 8 out of 10.
I was going to say 7 out of 10. So, yeah, I think we're along the lines there. Any, like, favorite moments in this episode that stuck out to you?
I really love... I think I say this all the time, but I really love it, is... the scene where Ezra's walking through the desert and he keeps hearing Maul taunt him and tease him and says, like, oh, you muhaha, like he's actually already dead. To me, every time I see it, it's very biblical.
I didn't think about that.
I know, like, religion is the force is religion's greatest hits, but like the desert, especially in the Bible, is very biblical in a sense of like, you know, that's where the devil is usually lurking. And
oh, like tempting you.
Tempting you. Yeah. And yeah, I got a biblical vibe from that. So I really love that. And obviously the scene where Obi-Wan gets to meet Ezra.
Mm-hmm. And great vocal performance by Steven Stanton.
Yes.
Yes.
Shout out to Steven Stanton, who also voices AP5.
And he also voices Tarkin, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a great, great impressionist and vocal artist.
Yeah. What was your favorite moments?
Yeah, I would say probably the scene where he meets Obi-Wan. Also, like, something I really didn't pay attention to the first watch is when Ezra gets into the A-Wing with Chopper, and he's sort of looking at this broken holocron and the pieces and, you know, just doing some weird stuff, which I don't really understand, but, you know, we're not going to do that. But just, again, Kevin Kiner's score there, I was very, like, surprised by of how, I don't know why I was surprised, but I was like, I never really paid attention to the music there.
Same.
It was really, really good. And also, just, I love sort of it wrapping up with Ezra understanding that he is on a different path from Obi-Wan and Luke. But also understanding that's where he's needed. Like, it's trying to, like, tie it back to Lothal. Sometimes, like, I feel like he was searching for just this end-all solution that's going to fix everything. Destroying the Sith, you know, well, you know, equates with destroying the Empire in a way, because the Sith is controlling the Empire, but understanding that that's not really the solution right
now. I mean, it's understandable why you would want a quick and easy solution, but a lot of times they don't either. They obviously quick, number one rule in life, quick and easy solutions do not exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question for you, going into the season finale, what were your initial thoughts after this episode? Like, were you like me? Were you thinking, like, oh, it's going to wrap up here? Or are we going to get another season?
Yeah, I didn't really know. Because, again, because the way this episode ends with Luke, I honestly thought, well, wait, is the next episode the last one? Because, like, you never know with these shows if they're going to get picked up for another season or not. True. So every season I was kind of like, oh, they're going to make more. But I was kind of leaning that way because I assumed they would be going back to Lothal. Knowing that there's other things happening behind the scenes. Thrawn and Kallus and all that. Yeah. So, to answer your question in a short version, is part of me was thinking it was going to be the last episode, but part of me was like, maybe there's still more to tell.
Okay. I'm trying to think. What? It was a really good episode. I really enjoyed this one. We could go into, you know, the sequence between Kenobi and Maul, but if you can find, it's on the internet somewhere. If you can find the voice of Maul, Sam Witwer, talking about this scene.
Breaking it down.
Is the best. Yeah. And I saw that years later. I think I saw it like a couple years ago and I realized the stances and all that. Like,
it's like leading Maul into a false sense of security.
And I never
caught
it, but I wouldn't, because I'm not that, I wouldn't
get. You know what Binary Sunset was? Okay. We get to see Ezra in his pajamas. Never seen that before.
And Deb snoring.
Deb snoring. Kanan's not in his room. A lot of people pointed that out.
Interesting.